The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Shlach Lecho. What's happening here is that in Parshas Bahalei Secho, the previous Parsha, we learned that Klal Yisrael were instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after being a full year less 10 days by Har Sinai, the Mount Sinai, after the receiving of the Torah, to go on their Masa Rishena, to go on their first journey. And it was actually a 3-day journey to the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was to the Midbar Paran, the desert of Paran. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu even made it less for them. He made them, made it where they could cover that derech, that distance in one day. Because this is how quickly he wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. But there was one delay after the other. There was a delay of the Misainanim, the complainers, and then there was a delay of the Asafsu, those that gathered together, and they said that they wanted to eat meat. And then there was another delay at the end of the Sedra of the Loshon Hara that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe, and then they became a Mitzora, a leper, so they had to wait for Miriam. And now finally they're continuing on their journey, and according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, the divine plan, they would go right into Eretz Yisrael. But the people came to Moshe and they said that we don't want to go in until we see the land first. We want to know what we're getting into, if we can conquer the land, if the nations there are strong or weak, and so forth. So Moshe went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecho, you want to send, then send. But ani eina metzav lecho, but I am not commanding you. It's not necessary, because I've already told you that it's a good land and you'll be able to conquer it. If you want, I won't stop you. But it's not necessary. The people insisted, so Moshe chose one person from each Shevet to go into the land, and the Torah lists their names. And he told them what to look for, where to look, and so on. And they went, and they saw all of the nations there, and they saw the fruit of the land, and they came back. And it states in Pasuk Chav Vav, Vayelchu Vayavohu El Moshe Vel Aaron Vel Kol Hadas Bnei Yisrael. They went and they came back to Moshe and Aaron and to the congregation, El Midbar Paran, Kadesha, to Kadesha in the desert of Paran, where the nation was, by Yeshiva Yisam Dover. And they returned to them their report, and they showed to them the Priya Oritz, the fruit of the land. And they said, we came to the land which you sent us. True, it's a land which is flowing with milk and honey. And Zepirio, and here we brought back the fruit, and brought back enormous fruit. Ephes, but however, ki azo oma yeshe ba'oretz, the nations that live there are fierce. And they have great fortified cities. And we saw the children of the Anok there, which were nations of giants. Amalek Yeshi Beretz Anegim. We saw Amalek there. Achiti, Ayavusi, Ba'amori Yeshi Bohor. we saw of the seven nations of Canaan, the Canaani. So what they were doing was were giving a report that we will never be able to conquer this land. Yes, Kolev Asom El Moshe. Kolev said no. And he said, Olei Nale, let us go, V'yarashnei, so we can conquer it. Ki yochal nuchal. And they said, Lei nuchal, alom, ki chozuku mimenu. The land is too strong for us. The Gemara darshins from here, ki chozuku mimenu, it's too strong for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that you could conquer it. It's too strong even for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to conquer it. Vayotziu dibas ha'oretz asher Torah Yisrael b'nei Yisrael lemor. And they were made see dibas ha'oretz. They slandered the land, which they spied out. And they said that it's a land which consumes those that dwell in it, and so forth. And when the nation heard this, they wept. And they said, what did you bring us here for? To sit in the desert? To go into this land where they will annihilate us? Actually, it was Tisha B'Av when they came back. Because the modern Masechta Tainus makes all calculation, and with all of the delay, when they left in the 20th of Sivan, and then with all of the delays, so they were ready to go into the land. It was Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. It was just a little over a month later. And they were in the land for 40 days. So 40 days from Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz comes out that they returned on the 9th of Av. It was Tisha B'Av. The eve of Tisha B'Av. And Kalev and Yeshua said, no, we can. And they said no. And then it rippled through the camp where it snowballed. And the people started to say that here we're left in the middle of the desert. Let's overthrow Moshe, and we'll make a new leader, and we'll go back to Egypt. Tev lanu shuv Mitzrayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and he said, Anonu yinatzuni ha'am hazeh, for how long will this nation fight against me? Va'ad onu le'yaminu mi. And for how long isn't this nation going to believe in me? With all of the wonders that I have shown them. The Mishnah in Masechet Avos in Perkei says that Asara Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had showed them 10 miracles in the bringing them out of Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry and he said, Akena v'adeva v'arishena v'yasa yischoy l'gogod l'v'atzu mimenu. He told Moshe that stand back and I will destroy them, and I'll make a nation out of you, and you will go into the land. Mm-hmm. So Moshe pleaded for them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti ki dvorecho, alright, I will forgive nation as you say. Ulam chai only v'imolei kved Hashem es kol oretz. But I take a shvur, I swear, that it's true the nation will go into Eretz Israel, but not the people that came out of Egypt, not the people that saw all of my miracles. The generation that came out of Egypt, and they have tested me. The word v'yanasu, which means testing, means here that they have stood up against me. Actually, the Maral in Masechet Avos goes into it as to why this word means he stood up against me, because actually it comes from the word nes, or to test. They have stood up against me 10 times. And this is what it states also in the Mishnah Avos, v'asara dishenis. That 10 times the people tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the 10th. So I take a shvua that this nation that has come out of Egypt, that saw all of the miracles and my great hand, they will not go into the land. But with the exception of Kalev and Yeshua. But what they will do is they will wander in the desert here. for 40 years until this entire generation dies. Hashem was referring to anyone that was over 20. So anyone that was over 20 would not live longer than 60. So therefore within 40 years this whole generation would die off, and their children, all of the children under 20, they will inherit the land. The children that they were worried about, that they said that if they'll go into the land or stay here in the desert, they will become the spoils of the enemies, they will go in and inherit. But the others will wander for 40 years. These were the numbers of the days that they spied out the land in for 40 days. One day correlates to 1 year. And the ones that went and spied out the land and Lahetzi Dibala audits, and they came back with the slander, and these were 10 people with the exception of the other two, Yeshua and Kolev, by Musa Anoshim made C.A. Dibasa audits, raw. But Magefalifne Hashem, they will die a very, very difficult death before me. And Yeshua ben Nun, Bekole ben Yefuna, Choyu min Anoshi Mahem, Ahokin Masura Oretz, their portions will be in the land, they will be inherited by Yeshua and Kolev. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So, this is how we mentioned last week how to make a short journey into a long journey. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking them within 1 day into Eretz Yisrael after celebrating the Simchas HaTorah for almost a year by Har Sinai, and then this 1 day journey ended up to become a 40 year journey. Now, the Mishnah and the Gemara in Masechta Erechin, Daf Tesvov, tells us how great an Aveira is the Aveira of the tongue. First it brings from Meitzi Shemra that if a person slanders a woman, he slanders his wife. And he wants to say that she had an illicit union with someone else. So he gets one punishment. And that punishment is more severe. He has to pay a fine of 100 shkolim. That's more severe than even doing an aveira himself. The Gemara brings. So we see how chomer, how stringent and how difficult is the aveira of the tongue. And then the Mishnah goes further. It says, "Shekein motzinu shalei nischatim gzar din ala vaseinu b'midbar ela aloshen hora." We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give in on everything. They tested him once, and they tested him again. They tested him, and they said, let's go back to Egypt, when they came to the sea. And then after they were coming out of the sea, they said that just like we're coming out on this side, the Egyptians are coming out on another side. And then they wanted to know, the water was bitter, and then they didn't have meat, and they didn't have what to eat, and so on. Actually, the Mishnah and the Gemara itemizes all of the 10 times. And the Egel Azov, the golden calf. But each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. Here, he didn't forgive them. So we see how chomer, how severe is the aveira of Loshon Hara, of the evil tongue. Now the Gemara comes along and says, What's the proof? Maybe it's not because of Loshon Hara. Maybe this just was the final straw. We have always that a person will take so much. But then it'll be the final straw, we say, that breaks the camel's back. So it's not that the final straw is so heavier than everything else. So maybe this is the final straw, the Gemara says. Katilei mosos, makatilei, dimeda katilei, milei so awesome. So the Gemara says no, because it states in the Torah, which we read, Vainusu I see ze eser pomi. This time, al ze nischatim gzardin, there's an extra word ze, to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sealing their fate, sealing their decree because of ze, because of this Avera, not because of all of the Averas collectively, but because of this Avera singularly. That means that it's not because of all 10 times HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed their fate, but because of this Avera by itself HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed their fate. By Nusi I see ze eser pomim, al ze, because of this alone, nischatim gzardin. Tanya, Omre Blezer ben Parton, Behu rei kama godel keach shaloshen hora. Blezer ben Parton said, come and see how great is the power of Loshen Hora, of the evil tongue. From where? From the Meraglim. From these spies, these scouts. Because, you see, we could say that maybe the problem is that they spoke Loshen Hora against Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like people who speak Loshen Hora against Eretz Yisrael. But maybe it's not that Loshen Hora is so severe. Eretz Yisrael is called Palton Shel Melech, the palace of the king. So he says, Reb Lezer ben Porter says just the opposite. He says, Umaho meitzi shem ra leitzim vavonim kach. Eretz Yisrael, even with its greatness, is still something which is inanimate. It's still earth and stone. When you speak Loshen Hora against earth and stone, and that's a great Aveda, which is against Eretz Yisrael. But against a person, that's even greater. The ramifications are greater, and for many reasons it could be greater. Like the Gemara, it says also, when the Kohen walks up to the Mizbeach, it states you should not make stairs. Because if he walks upstairs, so the Torah says, that's not showing respect to the Mizbeach. So there also the Chazal spring. That there you're not showing respect to the Mizbeach or to the going up to the Mizbeach. But you're talking about stone. And stones have no feeling. So how much more so if you do not show respect to your fellow man? So this is what this is what Reb Lezer ben Porter said. Then the Gemara here, from here, goes on to a whole discussion in Loshen Hora, because we see what this did. And let's discuss this a bit this evening. Now, we see that the Aveira of Loshen Hora is so powerful that it caused this enormous churban. It caused the entire Dor HaMidbar, the generation that left Egypt, to die in the desert, and not to have the schus to come into Eretz Yisrael. It even ultimately caused the golus, according to the Maral, besides the direct causes to the golus. But he says that had Klal Yisrael gone out of Eretz Yisrael and gone out of Egypt and immediately into Eretz Yisrael, we would have never left Eretz Yisrael, because it would have been all one motion. That there wouldn't be the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kinesis Oritz, the going out of Egypt and coming into Eretz Yisrael. It would have been all one act from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt would be irreversible, so would the coming into Eretz Yisrael. But because there was this great hafsoka, this great division, well, we went out, and then we stayed an entire generation in the desert. Then we went in, so now it's two separate parshas. And the going out of Egypt was irreversible, but not the coming into Eretz Yisrael. This is why we find that the Churban of the Bais Rishon of the first Beis HaMikdash was on Tisha B'Av, and of the second Beis HaMikdash was on Tisha B'Av, because that was the time when the Meraglim returned with the Dibus Ra, with the slander. So we see that the ramifications are enormous. Now we can ask a question, why? Secondly, we see also that further ancient, further punishments for Lashon Hara is Tsaras, leprosy, that we see in last week's Pasha with Miriam and Aaron. And then also we see that this hate is not didn't begin with the Meraglim, but it began a long time ago. It began with the Nochash HaKadmeini, the original serpent. The original serpent said Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Adam and Chava not to eat from the tree, Eitz Hadas Tevara, tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the Nochash came along and he said, are you allowed to eat from all of the trees? So Chava said, yes. And even this tree? She said, no, except this tree. So he spoke Lashon Hara on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to eat from this tree because he ate from this tree, and from this he became wise and he was able to create the world. And therefore he doesn't want anybody else to eat from this tree because he wants to be the wisest of everyone else. If you'll eat, you'll also be as wise as him. So here he was speaking Lashon Hara on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through that, what happened? Misa Bala Elam. He brought death to an entire world. Because before then, there was no death. Now, why is it? One would think that slander, speaking Lashon Hara is not such a great hate, because after all, it's only talk. It's only speech. We always say, I'm only talking. I'm not doing anything. One reason we could give is from the aspect of what happens with your Lashon Hara. Because with a person's slander, he is generally destroying the reputation, the shem tov of someone else. And the Chazal tell us in Masechet Avos, in the Mishnah, shem tov eilav kulona, that the greatest attribute that a person possesses is his good and honorable name. So when you slander someone, you speak in a degrading manner towards someone, about someone, so then you are degrading his shem tov, his reputation, and there's nothing worse you can do for a person, since that's eilav kulona, that's the greatest attribute he has. That's one way we can learn. But the Maral learns not from the perspective so much of the one who the Lashon Hara is spoken against, but from the speaker of the Lashon Hara, why it's so powerful. And that is, he says as follows. The most powerful aspect of the human being, he writes, is the tongue. Of everything that the human being was given, the most powerful tool is his tongue. Now, just like we know that a man that was given so many gifts, so his potential is far greater than anything else in the world, than a behema chai v'eif, his potential is far greater than animals, than the beast, than the birds. So is it with the tongue, that since that is the most powerful tool that man was given, Therefore, its potential also is the greatest by man and the greatest in the world. Why do we say this? The reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man with three forces. First, it states in Bereshis, in Bereshis Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. No, excuse me. Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Zayin. It states, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Ha'Odom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, He formed man, Ofer Min Ha'Adama, He formed him from the earth. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, and then he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Now, man was made physically. Physical man was made from the earth. Then man was given a nefesh. The nefesh is the breath of air, and which brought all of the living forces into man. And, in addition, he gave him an intellect and a soul, intelligence and a soul. So these are the three forces. They're referred to as the guf, the physical man, and the nefesh, that's the living forces in man, or his emotions, and his ability to live, and then his intelligence and soul. And this is what it states, Ofer min Adama, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. Man can be subdivided more, but generally he's divided into these three parts. Now, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him with these three forces, so what did he become? So the Pasuk doesn't stop there. It states, Vayir Odom LeNefesh Chaya. After all of this, he became what was known LeNefesh Chaya. The Lamed, the Mot, denotes something which he grew into, which is above him. From here he grew into a Nefesh Chaya. Now what would you say a Nefesh Chaya means? After he was given his physical body, and after he was given his Nefesh, the Nefesh Adam, and after he was given the Nishmas, the Shama, so now he grew into a Nefesh Chaya. What does Nefesh Chaya mean? So, Rashi brings Nefesh Chaya, Apehim Evachayin Nikra Nefesh Chaya, Ach Zu Shal Odom Chaya Shebekulan, Shenitesev Po Adeya V'Dibor. He was given the intelligence and the dibor, the power of speech. Unkele says even stronger. He says, what does it mean, nefesh chaya? He became now a nefesh chaya, a ruach memalo. He was given the power to speak. So that means that after he was given the physical aspect of man and the emotional aspect of man, and the spirit of man, the neshama, with his intelligence, now he became what was known as the ruach mamalo, the speaker. And the Chazal, you know this, whenever they refer to man, they refer to him, to distinguish him from every other type of life, they refer to him as the medaber, the speaker. They call the rocks and the earth, they refer to as the daimim, that which is silent and immovable. And the plants, they refer to as the tzemeach, that's what grows. The animals, and the beasts, they refer to as the chai, that what has life in it. The man, they refer to as the medaber. So, the power of dibur seems to be the ultimate power and the main power that is individualistic to man, that distinguishes him from all other life on the planet. He can speak. Now, what is the explanation in this? So the Maral says, because we can divide man into three parts, but then you're going to get halokim, divisions. Man is not divisions. Kodesh Baruch Hu made man into one. When he took all three parts and synthesized it all into one, from here came the speaker. And we'll see from Chazal that the Chazal bring here in the Gemara and Erechin bring many times that the power of the tongue is tilsoi, has a triple power, a triple force, and that's the triple force. It utilizes the entire man and it molds all of man into the Tzelem Elokim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to be. The reason for that is because the physical part of man is closer to man, but that's the least of the powers of man, because it's physical and that's made with limitations and so on. The intelligence of man and the spirit of man, which is your greatest force, but that's far above him, can't always reach it. It's not, as you could say, in his pocket. It's something he has to stretch out for. So he needs something which can utilize everything and still is near him. And this was the power of speech, the tongue. And that's why to speak, a person has to utilize all of these speech, all of these powers. He must be physical. If he doesn't have a physical tongue, he cannot speak. He has to have life and emotion in him. If he has no life and emotion, he cannot speak. Doctors will tell you that many times that if a person has a speech difficulty, it could be an emotional problem. And he has to have a mentality. To formulate thoughts into words, we take it for granted, but there can be no greater wisdom than to formulate thoughts into words. L'shein ishlodim. Mora tells us that the tongue is different than all of the other organs, because when a person has organs, he has internal organs and external organs. He has the heart, the kidneys, the liver. These are internal organs. He has external organs. He has his nose and his hand and feet. But the tongue is both internal and external. It says it's Yeshev B'seiser u'b'chashoy. It dwells in secret. Yet, you can see it also. It's not like the heart or the kidney. You can see it also. And why is that? Because its purpose is to take the innermost part of the person. What is the innermost part of the person? His thoughts. What is on his heart and what is in his mind. And to be megala, to reveal it lechutz, outside. How does he do that? He does that by formulating it into speech. Imagine if we would have a world of people that couldn't speak. Kodesh Baruch Hu created people that couldn't speak. There'd be no communication. No communication whatsoever. No communication, there would be no chabura. No chibur. There would be no connection between the people. This that we take for granted, and unfortunately it's abused and overused. It's overused and overabused. Today talk has become very, very cheap. Hey, you want to get it on television, you got to pay a lot of money for it. But I mean, it's become very, very cheap, unfortunately. But this is the greatest expertise and talent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man, where the tongue can go into the innermost chambers of man and be magale metzir lechutz, can reveal the soul, the secret outside, formulate thoughts into words, into sentences. This is why also HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 70 nations. With the 70 nations, he created Shivim L'Shena, 70 tongues, 70 languages. Now why? Could have created 70 nations and each one would have spoken the same tongue. Now actually there was a time when all of the nations spoke the same tongue. This was the time at the in the time of the Dor HaFloga, when they were all together, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to divide them. But when he wanted to, when he divided them into 70 different nations and 70 different tongues, it was because if the tongue is bringing out what's in the person, each nation has a different shadish. Each nation has a has a different internal makeup, and therefore his language becomes different. Sometimes I wonder that I've read a number of times on the Vilna Gaon, who knew, it's impossible to comprehend what he knew. I mean, in Torah, that we can see what he knew. We look at he's written untold Sforim, but you just look at his Pirush and Shulchan Aruch, and each 9, 10, 11 words that he writes in Shulchan Aruch is a whole sugisha, like we gave the other this week. And he writes on the entire Shulchan Aruch, millions and millions of words. So, I mean, in Torah, it was endless what he knew. But he also knew a great deal of Chochmah. God, he was a genius in math. A genius in math. They say he once visited Germany and some professors came to him and they had a kasha that they couldn't figure out. It was in geometry. So he showed them with one or two diagrams how to solve the problem. And then he had to run away from Germany because where he used to travel, he used to like to go anonymously. And he became too famous. They were coming to him with all the difficult questions. He wrote a sefer on mathematics. And then he wrote a sefer on grammar of Lashon HaKodesh, where it's mind-boggling. And then his Talmud writes on him that he knew Chochmas HaMusic, that he had enormous wisdom in the Chochmah of music, and on. But many times I have seen where he knew a very limited amount of languages. He knew Yiddish, he knew Lashon HaKodesh, he must have probably knew Ashkenaz, it says he knew. Ashkenaz was German, so that was the, and he probably knew Litvish. But otherwise he didn't know languages. Fact is, his Talmud writes, one of his Talmidim, that the Gaon asked him to translate various Sifrei Chochmah, see, various works of secular wisdom, into Ashkenaz, because he wanted to learn from it. And these were written in Latin or other languages. And I'd always wondered, I mean, with the Gaon's mind, he should have picked up all of the languages. Doesn't seem to fit into the pattern. So sometimes I think maybe the reason is he didn't want to. Because he didn't want to fall under the influence of that language. Because language is not just talk. Language is the expression of the mind and the heart and the soul. And languages of other nations would be these expressions. And it could be he didn't want. Maybe this was his reason. I don't know. But the question I always had. At any rate, the tongue therefore utilizes all of the forces in man, the physical man, the emotional man, the spiritual man. It goes deep into the man. It brings this all out. And this is not only the manifestation of the entire man, but this is also the mitzaref. It's the combination of man. Otherwise, it would be just subdivisions. So therefore, if we wanted to identify man in his entirety, the Chazal chose to distinguish him by saying, this is the medaber, this is the speaker. And this is how Unkelis translates the posuk, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him from the earth, and he gave him a breath of himself, and he made him into a nishmas chayim, vayilo odam lenefesh chaya, he became a nefesh chaya, a medaber, a speaker. So now we're starting to understand why the keach halosh and the power of tongue is so great. Because it's not like doing something with the left hand compared to doing something with the right hand. And it's doing something with kol ha'odam. And odam is the nivchar habriyas, the greatest of the creations of man, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We mentioned that the Gemara many times says the Loshon is threefold. It uses this expression, tilsoi. It's made up, it's a triple force. Now, one example of that, Gemara Darshins from Psukim. First of all, the tongue is like a fist, yad. States Amovis V'Achaim B'Yad HaLoshon. So what does it mean? It's like a yad. The fist is always the illustration, the hand is the illustration of a keach, of a force, a power. So this is denotes its power. And then there's another pasuk that states that the, it brings three psukim. Another pasuk that states the tongue is like a chetz, like an arrow. What's the difference between a fist and an arrow? A fist denotes power, and an arrow denotes power. The fist denotes power, but it's not so fast. The arrow denotes speed, the force of speed. It's lightning fast. So the tongue has both power and speed. Actually, the Maral brings in the place that nothing physical in man that operates so quickly. We have non-physical powers in man, but not physical. See, eyes or ears, this is already dealing with something that's non-physical. But there's no physical part of man that can operate so quickly. A person can strike with his tongue far quicker than he can strike with his hand. So the yad, that denotes power, but not speed. The arrow denotes speed. Then there's a third pasuk where it states that the power of the tongue can go all the way to the heavens. What is this denoting? The arrow, even though it's speed, but its distance is limited. How far can you shoot it? Today, instead of arrows, we have bullets. So bullets are denoted for their speed. They travel fast. Oh, we have our missiles. But everyone has its limitation as to how far it can go. So it tells us there's a third force in the tongue. There's no limitation. It can go from one end of the world to the other. How do we see that? We know that. Even before our technical age, Loshen Hara or Loshen Tov, it states Shem Tov Ezele Misefe Ela Matsefe. The whole world knows of Avram Avinu. It states on David HaMelech, King David, almost everybody's heard of him. His name went from one end of the world to the other. Now how? There's no limitation to speech. Now we certainly see it with the high tech. You sit and you watch. You can watch or listen, and you're hearing reports from the other end of the world instantaneously. So this is this is an example of the three forces in the tongue. Then the Gemara gives another example of its triple power. It says it kills, Loshon Hara can kill three. It kills he who speaks it, because he who speaks it can cause death to himself, or the Aveda itself will cause him death. Lemakable, to he who accepts it. It says, Amakable Yesem Mikulam. He who listens to Loshon Hara is not only being Machshel Chaveda, is not only tripping up his friend, but when he accepts it, he listens to it, and he believes it, then he is guilty, if not more guiltier than the other. And Ula Emrei Olav, and to he who had said about. So these are the three that Loshon Hara can kill. Again, we see the triple force. Another example the Gemara brings, it's Magdal Aveines Keneged Gimel Chamures. The Baal Loshon Hara, this refers to someone who's always speaking Loshon Hara. Someone who's always speaking Loshon Hara, his Aveines become as great as the three Chamures, the most severe in the Torah. These are Aveines Hara, Gila Reis, and Shvichas Domim. Idolatry, adultery and incest, and the spilling of blood. The Baal explains why. He says, idolatry, that's the chait of the seichel. That's a chait of the intelligence. A person has an ideology, a false ideology. Gile arayis, incest, immorality, promiscuity, that's the chait of the goof. It's physical. Shvichas domim, spilling of blood, this is the chait of the nefesh. Because not only are you taking the life of someone else, but what's causing you to do it? What causes you to do it are sin or hatred, or netir or revenge, or greed. So these are all emotions of the nefesh. So these are the three cardinal avedas, but each one comes basically from one division, one chelik of man. But Loshon Hara is equal or greater than all three, because the tongue is kolel, the tongue is all-inclusive of all of these three forces. So therefore his avedas are connected all of these three. Now, Shlomo HaMelech wrote In Mishlei Yud Ches, he wrote, Hamoves ba'achayim biyad haloshen. Death and life is in the hands of the tongue. So the tongue is not only for evil. The tongue is used for good also. And everything that we said about the tongue, all of its triple powers and forces, that's not only for evil. It's even more so when it's used for good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for life, for Chaim. And therefore the tongue has to be used for Chaim. If it's used for evil, then all of that force becomes death. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, HaMoves b'HaChaim b'yad HaLoshon. Now we see that in Ochesh HaKarmeni, the original serpent, he used it for death. He used it for evil. He used his tongue to get man to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world that man should serve him. What happened to him? He brought death to the world. This was the tongue in all of its force. He destroyed himself, because originally he was created, it states that all of the animals walked on all fours and he stood upright. He was the only of the beasts to stand upright. And that showed that he also was created, B'Tzelem Elohim, to a degree in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king. Man was created to walk as a king. The animals were created to serve him, so they go on all four. The serpent was also given a degree of the Tzelem Elohim. Now he destroyed himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut off his legs to the point where he became lower than all of the other animals. He crawled on his belly. And Arur, he was cursed not only that he would be cursed from man, but even from all other animals. Nobody likes the serpent, even all of the other animals. And he should dwell alone, the serpent, not together with others. Because the tongue was given to cement people together. It was the communication. He used the tongue to destroy people, to destroy the world. So he was told, go out of the world. If you'll ever notice that nobody, you'll come to a drinking hole in the bush, you'll see an elephant there, and you can see the buffaloes there, and you can see the impala there, and you can see the zebras there, but you won't see a serpent there. It doesn't mix. He was banished from the world. This is the Baal HaLoshon. The same thing we see with the Metzera. Metzera, the leper that comes from Loshon Hara, the Gemara says that Saras is Deima Lemiso. The leprosy is similar to death. And we see it's known as a disease which is not normal. It's not a normal disease. It doesn't come from biological problems, the leprosy of the Torah. And therefore it's a totally abnormal. Because of the abnormality, it's not part of society. There's diseases which are part of society. And he also was banished. He's nishtalku, chutz migimal machnais. He's not allowed to stay in any of the camps. And he has to go out, borad yeshev chutz lemachanai, meshova, he has to dwell alone. This is the same reason. Because his tongue, which tongue was given to create a world, to create a society, he used it to destroy. To be maybe machlekes bein ish leishtai, ish lerehu. Therefore also he was banished to go out. This is the mongus b'yad haloshen. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin where the Mishnah tells us Kinus l'rishoyim rala elam. When the Rishoyim get together, that's not good news. When the Rishoyim pizer, the Rishoyim tevla elam. When Rishoyim, evil people are scattered away from each other, that's good news. In other words, United Nations is not good news. Each one's in a different corner of the world. That's not bad. See? But when they come together, it's not good news. Why? Because then they're going to use their tongues and they're going to use the lara. By them it's better they shouldn't use their mouths. It says, Kinus, Pizu le tzadikim, rala elam. The tzadikim, righteous people, should be scattered. That's not good. Kinus le tzadikim. But a kinus, you bring righteous people together, that is good. Because if they're really righteous, what will they talk about? They'll talk divrei Torah, they'll talk divrei mitzvahs, they'll divrei chazak to each other. They'll say, how can we help this person? What we can do to help these people? Then it's a good story. And then what they speak, there can be nothing greater, because we're talking about here with the tongue. In Tehillim, Samach Test, it states, Alalo Shem Hashem Bishir, V'agadlenu B'todah, V'seitiv L'Hashem Yishor Apar. David HaMelech said, I will praise the name of Hashem with song, and I will make him great with thanksgiving. And this will be better than bringing to him a shor and a par, the ox and the bull. what is meant. So the Maral explains, because the axe and the bull, which is a sacrifice, it's an offering, but this is still at the physical level. What if you praise him with your tongue, with song and with thanksgiving, this is a far higher level, a far higher madrigo. And then the Gemara brings in Aveda Zora, Daf Yutes Amud Beis. Gemara says like this, states, Mia Isha Chovetz Chaim, Ayv Yomim Lireish Taif. Who is the man that wants Chaim? The one who loves to see days and to see goodness. Nitzol Lashen Chomeira, Usfasecha Medabe Mirma. Let him guard his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Now immediately afterwards, the Pasuk afterwards, this is in Tehillim Lamed Aleph. The Pasuk afterwards states, Sur Meira Ba'ase Tov Ba'ke Shalom Mirat Fehu. Turn away from evil and do goodness. Seek peace and pursue it. Now what does one Pasuk have to do with the other? Because the Gemara says like this, person will say that since it's such a great Aveira, there can be nothing worse than speaking Loshon Hara. So then, and it says, Nitzol Lashen Chameira, guard your tongue from evil. So therefore what I'll do is I'll keep my mouth closed all of the time. I won't talk. Keep my mouth closed all of the time. I'll sleep. When you're sleeping, you're not talking Loshon Hara. No. So the Gemara says, Talmud Lema Sumeira V'Asei Tov. If someone doesn't speak Loshon Hara at all, he fulfills the Sur Meira. He has fled from evil. But what about the Asei Tov? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't make a person in this world merely to flee from evil. He made him into this world even more important to do good. Except, in order to do good, you have to flee from evil also. So if a person will say that since it's so dangerous to talk, I won't talk at all, and I'll just keep my mouth closed all of the time, I'll sleep as much as I can. No, that's Sumeira. But what about Asetov, which is the Iker, to do good? The Ein Tov Ela Torah. And the greatest Tov is Torah. Because it states, Kilekach Tov Nosati Lochem. So therefore, it's not enough just to guard your tongue from evil, but you have to do good with your tongue. And that's through Vidibal Tabom, to learn Torah, to teach Torah, Tfilah, Chesed, and all of the other mitzvahs that one can do with his tongue. It said, the fact is, the speech is called Niv Sfasayim. Niv comes from the word, the Maral says, Tenuva. Tenuva means the fruit. So speech is called the fruits of one's lips. It's like we said, it's the fruits of man. So a tree must not give forth rotten fruit. So therefore you don't want to speak Loshon Hara, because you'll be giving forth evil fruit. So what if you got a tree that's giving forth rotten fruit, what do? You fix it where it doesn't give any fruit. And so what did you gain? You got to fix it where it gives forth good fruit. Then it's worthwhile. So that's the same thing. If you merely stop giving fruit, what are you for? You have to give good fruit. And it's the fruit of the person. So the better the person, the better the fruit. It was said on the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrein Levrocha, that he fought a lifelong battle on getting people to stop speaking Loshon Hara. So it said on him that one would think on him that he was a person who always kept silent. You know, he writes so much that you can't say this, you can't say this. And it's this Aveda, he always kept silent. They write on him just to the opposite. says, by any chabur, where there was any gathering of people, he was the Reisha Medabrin. He commanded the conversation. He led the conversation. And he spoke more than anyone else. You see? Because the Gemara says, he could fulfill Sur Mirah, but what about Aseh Tov? Except, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the person the capability and the potential where he could create good fruits from his tongue and not evil fruits. This gives us some background. There's a great deal written on the tongue, but some background into the Keach HaLoshon, the power of the tongue.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.